Appreciate that. 1 John chapter number 2. We've kind of called this, even though we had the baseball theme, it was a result of the youth revival, and the theme carried over from that. But this has really been a teen weekend here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Our emphasis has been on our teens and that age group. We included from the fifth grade on up. I'm going to explain a little bit about why we did that tonight. And I want to just kind of close out the weekend by sharing with you some things from the Word of God that I hope will help us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to keep a Bible-based philosophy when it comes to our young people. And so I'm going to read some scripture, and then I'm going to introduce the message. And I pray that you'd listen and give me your hearts. If I'm asking every parent to give me a hearing tonight. Please hear me out tonight. And every teenager, I want you to listen to me. Every child, and maybe you're not to that 12-year-old mark, but I want you to already listen and be thinking about what the preacher says and what the Bible says, because you're heading in a direction, and there's some things that God is going to begin to require of you as you get older and as you are then prepared to serve the Lord. And so I want to share these things with you tonight. 1 John chapter 2, let's all stand, please, if you'll direct your attention to verse number 12. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, mark that so we might come back there a little bit later, and then go to Titus chapter number 2, and it's 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then you'll find the little book of Titus in the New Testament there, chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. By the way, notice very carefully verse 1 and how it launches or introduces the thought, but speak the things which become sound doctrine. Look right up here. That word sound means healthy. If you preach sound doctrine, you're going to have sound Christians and sound homes and sound young people. If you preach unsound doctrine, or you begin to live out unsound doctrine, anti-biblical philosophies because you want to do something or you or whatever, you're going to have unhealthy results, and it's going to trickle down into your children. Now notice here, the Bible says that to speak those things which becomes sound doctrine. Now notice what follows that. The aged men, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Heavenly Father, Lord, just the scriptures we've read, man alive, there's no way in the world, Lord, we're going to go other places, so obviously we're not going to be able to cover everything in the scriptures that I've read. Lord, they're just full of great truths and great wisdom. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, as we kind of skip through here and pull out some things, that you'll help all of us to have our heart drawn towards the Word of God. Help us to develop, Lord, Bible-based philosophies, Lord, for our family and for our home, and certainly for the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. And you may be seated. I promise you that I have worked very, very diligently at what I'm going to try to work at again tonight. And that is this. I believe in presenting to the church a biblical philosophy when it comes to the rearing and the training of our young people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I more than you know, have given my life to this. Not just in preaching and teaching and training, but in writing and traveling and speaking. I feel like something has gone terribly wrong in our culture, and it has destroyed some of the very foundations of the family. And so I want to talk to you a little bit tonight as we kind of wrap up this weekend on that we focused on teenagers. And I'm going to try to help you again and teach you again. For some of you, this is going to be repetitious. And by the way, is there anything with repeating a truth? As a matter of fact, my job is to do that. As a parent, your job is to do that, you know. Anybody discover that the first time you taught your kids something, they didn't get it? It takes repetition. And by the way, we're the same way as adults. We need to hear things over and over again. And so I want to repeat some things. I want to present again, and we're going to go to the scriptures. I don't want you to buy into something because Jerry Ross thinks it. I want you to buy into it because the Bible teaches it. And we want to present sound doctrine. But I'm going to teach on this subject, the three greatest mistakes we make with teenagers. And I want to give you two of them. One, two, three. Number two will be the longest one. I don't want you to panic because number two is going to take a lot of time. Some of you, by the time we get to number three, are going to say, if that took as long as number two, we're never going to get out of here. Number three will be very brief. Number one won't take a lot of time. Number two is where I'm going to spend most of my time. I'm going to give you a lot of things to think about. There's no way I can go in depth on anything I'm going to present to you, but as parents, I want to stir your mind and get you curious and drive you to the scriptures and challenge some hellish philosophies that this culture's tried to sell this generation of parents and our young people. Now, young men, young ladies, I want you to listen to me too, because the honest truth is God made you with a free will. No matter how hard your preacher, your church tries to teach you some things, no matter how hard your parents try to train you in some things, if you are just stubborn and rebellious and bent to foolishness, then you know what? It's not going to matter that I say these things again. You're going to continue in your foolish ways as long as God lets you, to the extent that He will allow it. Let me remind you this. Don't get too arrogant about it. I could spend the next hour telling you stories of young people that decided they were going to do their own thing. And you know what? God interrupted their life in a dramatic, dramatic way. We've had this illustrated even here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in recent days. You better fear the Lord. You better fear the Lord. Now listen very carefully as I try to educate us as a whole. And now I'm going to set that group aside and I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I want to talk to the young people who have a heart to listen and a heart to do and want to align their life with the scriptures. I want to appeal to parents that really have a heart to do. You haven't bought into the humanistic philosophy that's being pumped out, and you really want some Bible basis and Bible principles to rear your family, rear your children with. And so that's the group I'm going to appeal to tonight, and that'll help me stay in a better mood and happy and positive tonight too. Amen. All right. Now, first of all, go back to 1 John, if you will, chapter 2, and let me take a look at this. Preacher, what are the three greatest mistakes we make with teenagers? Number one, we created teenagers. We created teenagers. That's the first mistake. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I am going to probably continue to use the term teenager. It's just such a part of our culture that I am going to, from time to time, use that term. But I will tell you this, I don't really like it. You'll notice in a lot of the things that we have around here, you won't find the word teenager pop up all that much. When I talk to our young people, I dismiss our Sunday school classes. If you'll pay attention to what I'm doing, I'll say a lot of times 7th through 12th grade young men, 7th through 12th grade young ladies, you can be dismissed. And let me ask everybody to help me with that, all right? I want to show you a philosophy, folks. This idea of the teenage years and the teenage culture and the teenage philosophy is not Bible-based whatsoever. In 1 John chapter 2, you'll see verses 12, 13, 14, that God specifically identifies three distinct lists or a maturation process that He looks at in three stages. He will mention the little children in this. He'll mention the fathers, and He'll mention the young men. Now, of course, all of this is in the masculine tense. We'll get over in Titus and see that is also true for you young ladies. But did you notice? He mentions in verse 12 the little children. He mentions verse 13 and 14 the fathers. He mentions in verse 13 and 14 the young men. Now, keep that thought in mind and go back over to Titus chapter 2. And again, God's presenting some sound doctrine here. He's instructing Titus, who's a young preacher, that when you preach to the church, you preach to these age groups and you instruct these specific age groups and tell them what their responsibilities are. And again, what we see presented through the scripture is three stages of maturation. We see in this portion of scripture that children are mentioned in verse number 4. Part of the instruction to the young women is to love their children. We see then that there are, when it comes to the ladies, there are children, and then there are the young women, and then there are the aged women. And when it comes to the men, they are children, and then they are young men, and then they are aged men. Okay, now look right up here. Did I tell you the truth? Did I add anything to the scripture there? You'll see this pattern repeated over and over and over and over again. Now, the modern culture wants to tell you that there's five steps to maturation. Somebody starts as a child, and then they become a teenager, and then they become a young adult, then they become middle-aged, and then they become a senior citizen. And so we've invented two stages that do not exist in God's mind. Okay, are you getting this? He says to you, children, and I'm going to tell you who you are, what that age is in a second, but those of you that are children, he addresses you, and he's got specific commands to you in the Bible, and he addresses children. By the way, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, and I love them too, and the Blessed Hope Baptist Church loves children, man. They're a big deal around here, and what a wonderful thing to be a child. I've said this before, but one of the things I'm very thankful to my parents is that they allowed me to have a childhood. They let me be a kid. Folks, listen to me. I know that you need to teach and train and discipline and all these things. I get it. But you know what? Children are children. They're children. And it's okay for them to be children. We were watching this morning. I was watching Brother Rogers' two boys. They came out of the building, and they had two other kids behind them. I can't remember who they were. And I was standing on the front step with Brother Cinders, and I said, there's one mud puddle in the middle of the entire parking lot. I said, you watch those two boys? They will head right to that mud puddle. And they did not disappoint me at all. They didn't. And they went over there. They were pretty cool about it. They jumped from the rock onto the grating and then onto the rock. They didn't stand there and splash up and down, which you can tell that something's sinking in, you know. And you know what? You say, why did they do that? Because they're kids. They're kids, okay? And so thank God that we are given children, and I'm glad that every one of us got to start as a child, and we're allowed to be a child, and there's just something sweet and wonderful about children. I hurt for people that say this to me. I never had a childhood. I hurt for them. I really do. I think that's wrong. I think that's part of what God gave you, and let your children, it's okay for them to be children. I watch some parents around here, and you're so panicky. Whenever your kids get near the preacher, you're just, I mean, you suck all the air out of the room. You're scared to death of what they're going to say or do. Folks, I raised kids, and I love it when kids are just kids. And you know what? Kids will say things that at times will just astonish you and do some things. But there's just a sweetness about them. And you know, I'll tell you what, if children don't make you believe in God, then you know what? You're just about hopeless. You're just about hopeless. Now, so that you're allowed to be a child, and you're allowed to be that for a certain amount of time. Now, folks, there is no magic one-day instant in life where someone ceases to be a child and becomes a young man, ceases to be a girl and becomes a young woman. But I do believe that in the example of the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, that when Jesus turned 12 years of age, the parents took the child Christ to the synagogue as part of the Old Testament law. And I am very careful to try to separate Jewish culture from Bible principle. I think guys have gotten in trouble by going too far with some of this. But I will say this. I think since it is the only story that's told about Christ, that there is a truth that's there. And there's a principle that's there that makes awful lot of sense to me. I would say that folks, the childhood years are from the time a child's born till they're 12 years of age. That's a good way to look at it. When a young man, a young lady turns 12, they cross a threshold. And parents, what we have to do is we have to understand that they're entering into a time when they need to be treated, and young ladies need to be treated as young men and young ladies. Now, what's happened is the culture has invented something called the teenage years, or being a teenager. And if you look at what the culture projects that to be and encourages that to be, it's like all of a sudden every young man and young lady from age, the time they turn 13 till about 18, they're just allowed to be ridiculous and foolish and immature and stupid and rebellious and all of this. And that's accepted. And the answer to that, all of that behavior is, well, what do you expect? They're just teenagers. God does not recognize that which the culture has invented. Now, young men, when you turn 12, how many of you are 12? Raise your hand. All right, that gives you a good group. This age group right in here, okay? All of a sudden, I promise you this is true. These young men that are turning 12, they, at that age, almost immediately begin to respond when you teach and treat them and start giving them some measures of responsibility and some measure of expectation, and with that, some measure of privilege. When you begin to treat them like a young man, there's something inside of them that just responds to that. Now, you're still catch them acting like kids sometimes, you know, because like I said, there's no moment in time where this transition just takes place. And so you may catch one of these guys out in the mud puddle jumping up and down just in a weak moment, amen? But you begin to see this transition. And you see these young ladies, about the time they hit that fifth and sixth grade class, all of a sudden, you know what? They want to be treated more like a young lady and less like a little kid. Now, folks, just by that evidence of alone, that ought to teach us as parents and teach us as a church that we need to do what the Bible says here, and the aged men and the aged ladies need to begin to instill the things that young men and young ladies need to know and start teaching those things to them as they come into their 12th, 13th, 14th year. And so I'm not wanting you boys to become teenagers. I'm wanting you to become young men. Okay? And that, by the way, that is a title of privilege. I guarantee you, in every one of you, there's something that's going to begin to recoil at the idea of somebody calling you a boy. They don't want to be treated like boys. They don't look at themselves like boys. And you know what? They're really not boys anymore. They're young men. Now, young men, let me explain something to you. You want that, but let me just tell you the facts of life here. Men are going to make you earn that. And part of our job as adult, mature men is to help you to make the transition from childhood to manhood. Now, that's the truth with our young ladies, too. I promise you, like I said a minute ago, there's no young lady in the world that doesn't hit 12, 13 years age. And I'm going to tell you something. Something begins to blossom in them, and they don't want to be called a little girl anymore. And they start passing over into young womanhood. And you know what? Ladies in our church, are you listening to me? Mamas, are you listening to me? Don't try to keep them a little girl. It's not your responsibility to keep them a little girl. It's your responsibility as an aged woman. Sorry, I hate to use that phrase with our ladies. You know, I apologize that I'm using that. But you know what? If you've got kids teenage years, I'll just break something to you. You're an aged woman, all right? I've always resisted defining that specifically because some of you don't want to accept that, and I don't want to get in trouble trying to get you to accept that. But you know what? If you are the mother or a father of someone who is a young man, bad news, that makes you what the Bible calls a father or a mother or an aged woman or an aged man, and it's your responsibility to begin to teach them the things that they need to know so that they can become young men and so that they can become young women. The things of the Bible that makes them godly young men and godly young ladies. Not the things of the culture. Not the things that the world says defines you as a man or as a woman. But what the Bible says, well, listen, young ladies, you want to set as your goal to grow into that virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31, not the strange woman of Proverbs chapter number 7. And you know what, young men, you want to have as your goal to grow into the godly man of Proverbs, not the evil man of Proverbs. And you have the potential of both. Now, you're going to have surrounding you parents, and relatives, grandmas and grandpas, a preacher, youth pastor, Sunday school teacher, and gentlemen, listen to me, ladies, listen to me. If we're all doing our job, we're all on the same page on this, and we're helping them to develop these character traits at that tender age that's going to help them to go in, from childhood into maturity. And again, remember, parents, it's a process, and it doesn't happen overnight. But I think at age 12, it'd be an awful good time for you daddies to sit down with your son. If they've hit 12 or 13, sit down and said, listen, son, I'm just going to explain some things to you. Our relationship's going to change a little bit. And some of the little kid stuff that, you know what, we've tolerated and enjoyed, to be honest with you, because you were a child, we're going to start having to you put away some childish things. Because I need to prepare you for manhood. Oh, preacher, I don't know if I agree with this. Why not just let them stay kids and have the mentality of the world and let them be irresponsible and immature all the way till they're 18? I'll tell you why. Because this culture's proved that don't work. We have 18, 19, and 20-year-olds all over this United States of America. And you know what? They're launching into life with the maturity of a 8-year-old and a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old. Irresponsible, disrespectful, strong-willed, foolish in their decisions. And they will go out with that mentality, that childish mentality, and they will self-destruct. Okay? Now listen to me. Do you realize the most important decisions, most of life's major decisions, are made between 18 and 24 years age? You know, you get on one of our nuclear battleships, and 80% of the positions that's filled on that battleship is filled by a young man who's between 18 and 21 years of age. Are you getting this? Now, if we let them be ding-dongs till they're 18, how in the world are they going to go out and make mature decisions? So what I'm saying is, I am preaching to young people, because I'm going to tell you something. It's not always the fault of those that are trying to train you that you're still a ding-dong when you reach that age. Some of you are resistant. You want to hold on to your foolishness and your immaturity. And you're resistant to the training of your parents, and you fight the philosophies of the Bible in your life that's trying to be taught here at this church. And you know what? You'll choose the path of a fool, and you'll pay the price of a fool. You will. The book of Proverbs is not going to go away just because you showed up and turned 18 years of age. All of those consequences that the Bible says will come into your life as a result of you choosing to be a fool, it will come to pass in your life. And again, I'll set that group aside for a few minutes. Amen. But thank God that we have an army of young men and young ladies around here that say to the aged men and the aged ladies, if you'll teach us, we'll learn. Now, please be patient with us, because we're not going to learn it the first time, and we're not always going to do it right. But if you'll teach us, and when we do wrong, if you'll reprove us in love, and you'll correct us, and you'll sit down and you're patient with us, we do want to become young men of God. We want to become young, virtuous ladies. Just teach us. And that is something God's put in their heart. The other age group, children, teenagers, God didn't invent that. Young adult, middle age. Heard of the mid-age crisis? You know, that's where a bunch of people my age start acting like teenagers again. Start acting like ding-dongs again. All of a sudden they want to go back and act like they're teenagers. They start getting Facebook pages. I think I'll just settle in here for a minute. Can I just settle in here? I'm just going to say this, and then if you get mad at me, just get mad at me, all right? But I just want you to know what's going on in your preacher's head. I'm going to tell you this once, and I'm not going to repeat it. Okay. If any of you adults walk up to me and start talking to me about your Facebook page, I'm going to smile or kind of look blankly at you and just listen. But I want you to know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of junior high. I'm thinking of a bathroom stall. I'm thinking of kids going into the bathroom stall and writing things about each other on the bathroom stall. Then the next recess, everybody running in to read what everybody wrote about each other and writing other things on the bathroom stall. And then the buzz around is what everybody wrote on the bathroom stall and who wrote this about what. I'm just telling you, I'm going to sit there and kind of go, oh, huh. But that's what I'm thinking. I'm not going to say that again. But if you're talking to me, I want you to know that that's what I'm thinking. Okay, all right. Sorry, young people. One of the sad things is that we can't get this group to maturity because we've got a bunch of knucklehead adults that won't grow up. Excuse me. But somebody's got to say something at some point. You know, how in the world can you as an aged man teach a young man to, let's see here, what's it say? Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. How can you teach a young man to be sober-minded if you're not sober-minded? In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Let me ask you, sir, what pattern are you showing our young men and young ladies right now? What pattern are you showing them? If they were to follow your example, what pattern have you laid for them? In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. We get on the ladies for gossiping, and we got some men running around gossiping like a bunch of old women. And if you're raising young men in that environment, how are they ever going to come to maturity? You know, ladies, let me ask you this, aged ladies. How in the world can we teach the young women to be sober if you're not sober? How are they ever going to learn to love their husbands if you won't love your husband? How are they going to learn to love children if all they hear you do is gripe about your children all the time? How are they going to learn to be discreet if we don't have some adult ladies that'll be discreet and chaste and keepers at home? And good and obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, which is saying that when you're not doing these things, you are blaspheming the word of God. Yes, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, you don't get a vote here. If it's in the Bible, we're going to preach it. Yeah, but you don't understand. We're living in a different age now. Listen, if you want to rip that page out, rip it out and throw it away. But you're going to stand before God for defiling His Word and ignoring His Word. You know why we got a bunch of young gals that can't pull off what it is to be a wife? Because they were raised in a situation where they didn't have the example of what it is to be a wife. We've got a bunch of knucklehead 18-year-olds, I'm afraid, because sometimes we got a bunch of knucklehead 48-year-olds. It's time to grow up. It's time to be men. Okay? It's time to set the right example for our young people around here. Okay? And so that's the challenge. That falls as heavy on us as it does our young people. We are the ones that are given the responsibility to bring them to maturation, which means we have to grow up in some areas of our life and take these things serious. So number one, we create teenagers. Number two, get this, we coddle teenagers. We coddle teenagers. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to show you some things. And again, I'm going to introduce some thoughts to you, and I'm going to give you a lot to meditate on and think about, or not. I'm going to give you a lot to either think about or a lot to ignore. But I'm going to give you some stuff. And I want you to really hear me out. 1 Corinthians, by the way, the culture reinventing the family, how has that gone, please? You want to tell me how that's worked out? Yeah. Well over. Listen, the only reason that divorce rate hasn't grown much in the last 10 years is because people are just living together, not getting married. Then they're breaking up. I mean, how's this sick old culture's pattern worked out for the United States of America? And so it's funny because when somebody goes back and brings a congregation of people and takes even church people and takes them back to the Bible, there's almost, we've been influenced by this wicked culture more than we realize. Too many Christian ladies spending too much time watching Oprah instead of reading your Bible. Buying humanistic books, even humanistic books that are bought at the Christian bookstore. that teach more humanism than they do Bible. Too many pulpits that are nothing but pep talk rallies and motivational speakers, and their statements are fraught with humanism. Fraught with humanism. Now, at 12 years of age, it's time to stop coddling them and treating them like children. Stop it. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11. Now, I understand that there is going to be a process here. Like I said, it's not going to happen overnight. But there's some things that you, as the adults in that home, need to insist that starts getting put away. In other words, you know what? I let you kind of slide because you were a kid, but guess what? You're not a kid anymore. There's some things I ain't going to let slide anymore. I'm going to correct them. I'm going to call you on it. Now, parents, you're the front line. Church is just a support system. Christian school is just a support system. Let me just say this. I don't think it's true of a lot of our parents. I really don't. But there's too many parents that when the Christian school first started in the 70s that thought they could just turn their kids over to Christian school and they didn't have to do their job at home. But you have to do it at home alongside us while we're doing it at the Christian school. If we're not working in tandem on the same philosophy, we're not going to get the job done. Okay? And so we have to get a Bible-based philosophy. We see in verse number 11 these words, "When I was a child." Now this is very important, and this is what I can't spend a ton of time on, but you need to meditate on. I did what? Okay, now he's going to tell you that there's three areas of childishness that we as adults need to refuse to tolerate, start correcting, and demand a higher level of action in and behavior in. "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child." All right, you 12-year-olds, are you listening to this? "But when I became a man, I..." Now, your mom and dads are going to try to help you, and I'm going to try to help you. But ultimately, you have to choose to put some things away. "I put away foolish things," or childish things. Now, there are some things that if I hear a kid say, I don't think a whole lot about it. But if I hear a 14-year-old say it, I'm not going to tolerate it. Okay, I'm going to correct it. Not to be mean about it, but I'm going to be manly about it. Okay, there's some things that I've got up here. By the way, you say, "Preacher, what are those things?" In the book that I published, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, I have listed in there the 10 Laws of Excellent Speech. I made 50 copies of them here. You know, you ought to sit down with these things. I'm just going to leave them there. If you want wisdom, come get it. If you don't care, then don't care. But there, you know what? I hear this out of young ladies and young men all the time, these things, and it's not being corrected. You're allowing them to say things they should never be allowed to say. Do you understand that you're supposed to run the home, they're not? That means that as our girls progressed into their 10, 11, and 12 years of age, we began to say, "Okay, all right, you know what? What you're saying is childish. You need to stop saying that. You're not a little child anymore. There's some things that are unacceptable in adults, and they're going to start being unacceptable here in this home. So you will not say certain things. And if you do, you'll get corrected. If you continue, you'll get corrected in a more interesting fashion. But it's not going to be tolerated. We've got 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds that are still saying the same stupid things they said when they were in second grade, and it's being allowed. I guarantee you, they've learned they don't say them in my proximity. Okay, now I'm going to deputize every man in here. Look up here, I'm going to deputize you. As an aged man, you have the right in this church. Parents, put your seatbelt on. You have the right in this church. If you're hearing, listening to a young man that's babbling like a fool and talking unscripturally or unbiblically, you have not only a right, you have a responsibility to call that young man down. Now, let me tell you why we can't get some things fixed. Because you parents can't handle the fact, you can't take it when somebody else corrects your child. You defend their immaturity. And if somebody corrects them, you get mad at the person that's correcting them instead of get mad at your immature behavior in your child. Just because you choose to tolerate it in your home does not mean I have to tolerate it. I won't tolerate it. I'm not going to be mean. I understand you got a 13 or 14 year old. Most of the time, honestly, if you listen to me, you'd find out I'm very kind in the way I do it. But there's times where I just say, young man, come here a minute. Now that just needs to stop. That kind of thing is kid stuff. Cut it out. Stop it. Can you imagine walking in the back of the auditorium and there's Don Mowry, Bob Townsley, and Charles English in the back? And Don Mowry, all of a sudden, just for no reason, jumps on Brother Bob Townsley and gets him in a headlock. Starts messing his hair up and slapping him around. So Brother Townsley gets aggravated, and so he gets an ink pen out, walks behind Brother Charles, and just sticks him in the rear end with an ink pen. Just pokes him real hard with the ink pen. Now, if that kind of behavior was going on with those three men, you'd say, we need to put them in a nursing home. They've lost their mind. They're off the farm. But wait a minute. I'm supposed to stand around and watch your 16, 17, and 18-year-olds do that, and that's supposed to be okay? I told Brother Jonathan Reiser, I said, we may have to have a no-touch rule between the boys in our school. Not for romantic reasons, I hope. That's a whole nother sermon, eh? That was last Sunday night. Yeah. You're going to be like that? Bless God, go in the military. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry about that. Just kidding, just kidding. But, you know, it's okay. Some of you say, well, just Brother so-and-so, he's just so mean. He's in a bag. He's growling at the kids. He wouldn't have to if you'd growl at your own kids. Now, there's just some things that, you know what, young men, you ought to be able to walk in the back door. I mean, honestly, come on, guys. The time you hit 14, 15 years old, you can't walk in the back of the church, walk around, carry on some intelligent conversations, treat each other with respect, treat the young ladies with respect, and look like a Christian and act like a Christian and walk like a Christian young man and resemble more a Christian adulthood than you do Christian childhood. Okay? And so that's the goal here. We don't sneak up on you. We say it out loud. This is what we're going to do. This is what we ought to do. This is what we have to do. If this world has a chance, this is what we have to do. You know why the devil's attacked manhood the way he's attacked it and tried to keep our young men as children? And folks, it's not just 15, 16, 17-year-olds. There's 28, 29, 30, 35-year-old men. I'm ashamed of what we've become in this nation. I'm ashamed of it. I am. What in the world? Won't work, can't work, don't know how to work, refuse to work. Can't carry on an intelligent conversation with another human being. Couldn't balance a checkbook, mommy's still doing it for him. What in the world? Now, why are you making a big deal about this? Because God goes to the pool of manhood, young men, and from that, he calls out men of God. Well, if the devil doesn't want any men of God being called out, he just destroys manhood because, you know what? God does insist on calling men into service. I'm not talking just about preachers, missionaries, and evangelists. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about bus workers. I'm talking about Christian men that step up and lead in a church. Now, every once in a while we get, thank God, we're still in some of our independent Baptist churches. We're still producing that. In other places, producing some of that. It's not completely gone. But then you get one of these young men, and we've dropped the ball sometimes on the young ladies. So this young man ends up marrying a girl who's 21, but honestly, she's 8. And I'm not talking in mental retardation or intellect. I'm talking about she's never grown up in some areas. She's She's 21 throwing temper tantrums. She's 21 throwing hissy fits. She's 21 and still thinks the world's about her. She's 21 and thinks it's her job to make messes and other people clean them up. So you get a handful of mature guys, and you guys better be smart about this. And you know what? I'm not going to pay the price if you're not. Go do what you want to do. You go marry some ding-dong out of this culture, and you know what? You're going to have a whole lifetime to try to figure out what you're going to do with what you've got. And you know that portion in the Proverbs chapter 1, the very end of the chapter, me and my wife talked about this. I said, I don't know what to do sometimes. She said, do what God did. Warn them, and if they don't listen, laugh. She told me that. So I go to the Bible and I read it. And you know what? God says, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to try to turn you from your simplicity. But if you love simplicity and you won't listen to me, when your calamity comes, I'll laugh at you. So please come to my office later so I can laugh at you. Now, I don't mean this wrong, but I probably will. I'm just going to, you know. I'm going to go. Stupid is a stupid did. Preacher, aren't you supposed to be compassionate? Aren't you? No, I'm sorry. That's what our problem was all along. We used compassion when it wasn't compassion. It is not compassionate to let a young boy continue to be a young boy. It's not compassionate not to insist on a young man exercise some maturity in the way he talks, in the way he understands things, in the way he thinks. We've got to bring them to maturity in their speech. Listen, speak sparingly, the Bible says. Speak only after thinking. This Bible verse, speak honestly. Speak with grace. Speak scripturally. Speak appropriately. Never speak evil of another person. That means you gossiping, all this other nonsense that goes on. Never praise yourself. Some of you young men wouldn't have anything else to say if you obey that one thing right there. You spend your whole life trying to be the hero of every story you tell. And everybody that's listening to you has one thought that if they have any maturity, what a young fool. He never has grown up. If you're a man, you don't have to go around telling anybody you're a man. You don't have to go around beating your chest and screaming and carrying on like you're something else. If you're a man, you're a man, and everybody knows it. Never praise yourself. The Bible says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. That means this mouth should never praise Jerry Ross. And your mouth should never praise you. And if you hear that in your home, then why in the world are you tolerating it? Shut it down. Shut your mouth, boy. Because that's what you're acting like, a boy. I don't want to hear about you. I don't want to hear about your greatness. You're disobeying the scriptures. You're talking like a child. That's what second graders do at the lunch table. Sitting around trying to impress each other with how tough they are and talking up this big thing and that big thing. You know what I did? Well, I did this. Well, I did this. Well, I did that. Immaturity talks about themselves a lot. What I'm saying is, at some point, some adults need to take control of some things. Some aged men need to say, hey, let me teach you how to be sober-minded. Let me teach you about sound speech. Are you getting this? So this is where we insist on them growing. We insist on them developing in some areas. Help young people develop excellent speech. Help young people deepen their understanding. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. Now, let me tell you the process of how you need to be taught and what you need to be taught. When you're a child, your parents need to tell you what to do and how to do it, and that needs to be enough. By the way, folks, that's verbal instruction and practical training. During their childhood years, you teach them what to do and how to do it. And if they say why, you say, and that's all you need as a child. When you become 12, parents, you need to begin to develop their understanding. Okay? Knowledge is learning. Understanding is knowledge is learning what God wants me to do. Understanding is learning what God why God wants me to do it. And wisdom is learning how to do what God wants me to do. Now, what we do is we teach the young people what they're supposed to do and how to do it, and then we say, do it. But at some point during their teenage years, we need to give them the Bible basis of the why behind the what and the why behind the how. And if you do that, then you're going to begin to develop in them an excellent spirit, because Proverbs 17:27 says a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Now, young people, if your mom and dad tell you what to do and how to do it, and then they tell you to do it, and they say, you say why, and they say, because I told you so, you say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and you just do it. But as an adult, a wise adult, during their teenage years, part of manhood, part of developing young ladies with strong conviction is to begin them, to train them in the Bible reasons behind why they are to do what they're supposed to do. And if you won't do what you're supposed to do because your parents just told you, how they told you to do it just because they told you, you're never going to have the understanding anyway. Okay, so you got to learn just to obey and do. But I do think that we've got to be careful. We've got to, as adults, begin to answer the why questions. We begin to give them Bible basis because behind why we do what we do. Now, young man, young lady, listen to me. You have a responsibility also during those years of receiving the understanding. Okay, let me have you go to Proverbs chapter number 8. See, some of you want to ask why, and you don't want to ask why so you can develop your understanding. You want to ask why so you can argue with authority. And a wise authority figure will not just listen to your question, but discern the motive of your question. I taught on that. That's how Jesus did it. Some of you don't ask why to mom and dad so that you can have develop good understanding, and that way you can grow in the Lord. You just want to argue about everything. You're still acting like a two-year-old. Proverbs 8, verse number 5, notice this. O ye simple, understand wisdom. So how do you cure simplicity? By developing understanding along with the wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to him that find knowledge. You know what? If a kid comes to you and wants a real answer to the why behind a what and a how, and you give it to them, and they have a heart that desires understanding, they're going to, and you show them the scriptures, they're going to base what they believe that from then on those scriptures and go forward. If they're just a scorner or a fool, they're going to ask why, and no matter what answer you give, the Bible says a fool's wiser in his own eyes than 70 men that can give a reason. It doesn't matter what the truth is. You don't really want to know the truth. You just want to try to change truth. So if a young person comes to me and wants to know the why behind the what and the how, and I sit down and there's a prep, thank you, Pastor Jerry, now I've got Bible reasons to know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to keep doing those things. But what you told us to do, how I told you to do it, now I know the why. And you know what? God bless. I just helped them grow up a little bit. But you get a scorner that comes, well, I don't know why we have to do this. Well, because of these scriptures. Well, I don't know why we have to do it. Oh, well, because of these scriptures. Well, I don't understand why we have to. You know what? You don't want understanding. You just want to be an idiot. You just want to be a rebel. You just want to be a scorner. It doesn't matter how much time I spend with you trying to teach you. You don't want to learn. And so people that develop this desire, this hunger to learn and to listen and to accept excellent speech and excellent words. Listen, we've got to help them develop this. What's the last thing you have to put away? Help your young people develop mature thinking. Say, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. Understood as a child. I thought as a child. Now, you young men, listen to me. All through your years up to this point in your life, you've thought a certain way. And it's called the way of a child. And you know why you thought that way? Because you were children. You have to start allowing us to teach you how to think like a man. Because men do not think the same way as boys. And young ladies do not think the same way as little girls. And so you have to allow your mind that's why the Bible says here, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. You know what the word sober there talks about? Disciplined. You know, as a little kid, you know, when I go in the elementary learning center and I catch about two-thirds of the students daydreaming, I'm going to draw their attention back to their studies, but am I shocked and surprised that they are undisciplined in their thoughts? No, they're kids. That's why when we go down to the children's church, Michael and Levi and Greg and other men that preach to those kids, man, they've got to have illustrated messages, and they've got to hold up things, and they've got to always recapture their attention about every 3 minutes, and they got to move around, and they got to do all of this. But I'm finding out we're in a culture where if I don't do that to some of you 30 and 40 years old, you can't concentrate for through a whole message. You know what? Part of growing up is learning to isolate and concentrate, fully put all of your mental energies on something, getting everything out of it. You're brought to a job. You know, if you take a child, you take an 8-year-old and you bring them into their room, so I want you to clean this room. All right, I want you to isolate and concentrate. This is the one job, clean that room. You're probably going to come back, mom's, if I'm wrong, tell me. You're probably going to come down back sometime in the process, and instead of putting the toys away, they're going to be sitting there playing with them. It's not that they didn't intend and start out with the right motive. And they don't care. Mom told me to do this. And then they start putting things away, and all of a sudden they're like, cool. Pattern. I don't see how this works. And, you know. But when you give a job to a 14-year-old, and you've got to come back in every 5 minutes and refocus them on it, if you're a teenager and somebody does that and you have the inability or the unwillingness and the immaturity to not do that and somebody growls at you, they ought to growl at you. Okay. You know, sometimes a trip around the barn with number 10 and a half isn't a bad idea. You'd be surprised how that focuses their thinking sometimes. Amen. Preacher, I can't believe you said it. I can't believe that you're astounded that I'd say it. We are so messed up. Child abuse isn't properly, and I do mean this properly, spanking a child. Child abuse is not spanking them when they need it. Letting them to act like little immature fools. Okay? And so there's a reason that some of your young men, the older they get, the more uncomfortable they get around here. And I'm not blaming mom and dads on most of this. Some of you young men, you've been taught. You know better. Good night. Mom and dad shouldn't at your age have to say anything to you. We shouldn't have to have a rule book at the Christian school for you. By the time you hit 13, 14 years of age, we shouldn't even have to have a handbook. You ought to be willing to discipline yourself and do the right thing. And the idea of teenagers getting kicked out of school and teenagers getting all kinds of demerits and teenagers sneaking around and breaking the rules. You know what? All you're telling me is that you're about 7. How in the world are you going to go hold down a job somewhere? Because I got news for you. Any place you got a job, they got rules. But you just got this mentality. If I don't want to do it, I shouldn't have to do it. If I want to do it a different way, I should be able to do it my way. Okay, welfare Willie. Because that's where you're heading. You're not gonna hold a job down in the real world. Okay, you know what? By the way, I know I'm taking a little time tonight, but look up here. You know what I'm doing up here? I'm trying to turn out some men. I'm trying to turn out some Christian, virtuous young ladies. Preacher, you get upset with us adults sometimes. I do when you won't act like an adult.
Yes,
we're fighting a battle here.
You're right.
It's not my job to micromanage every part of your life, but I'm telling you something. You sure make it hard when you make irresponsible, foolish, childish decisions and set those type of examples in front of our young people and undo what so much of us are trying to accomplish around here. Just because you wanna. Like when you were 14 and you wanted to. Maybe you ought to look back at how you got to where you're at and decide it's time to grow up. Now, I've been hard on them a little bit, but let me give you the last thought and I'll take about 3 minutes and we'll be done. What's the third mistake we make with teenagers? We underestimate them. Now, let me tell you the upside of this. By the way, that's what 1 Timothy 4:12 said. Let no man despise that thy youth. That word despise means undervalue. Yo, here's what's so exciting about if we get back to this philosophy. If we get back to this philosophy, by the time a young man is 14, 15 years old, I can go up to him in this church. I'll be able to go up to him and say, hey, I need you to do this, this, and this. Ready, set, go.
Yes, that's right.
And just walk away. Young men right here. You realize what kind of youth group we can have over our home?
Yes, sir.
young man, you're not a teenager. If you're a young lady, you're not a teenager.
Right.
Okay? And when you get a group of young men that have that type of a work ethic and grow up and catch on to this and begin to square their shoulders up a little bit, decide that they're going to be a man instead of a knucklehead, I'm going to tell you, you can just turn that group loose and you'd be shocked what they can accomplish with the Lord Jesus Christ. I told Brother Harris here, maybe I'll preach it one of these days, but I told him, I said, when I go to teen camps, I've only preached this maybe 4 or 5 times, but I preach on the 5 most courageous things I've ever seen a Christian do with my own eyes. The 5 most courageous things. I tell 5 stories is all I do in that message. Preach on out of Joshua chapter 1, be of good courage. 5 most courageous things I've ever seen with my own eyes that I've watched a Christian do, 4 of those things were done by teenagers. Don't you underestimate teenagers. I think, Brother Roger, we saw what some dedicated teenagers could pull off. Okay, some of these girls all by themselves, some of our young men, as far as I know, all by themselves. Brother Roger just taught them, hey, as we get closer to this, you might want to think about fasting and praying. You know what? They just did it. They just did it. Just did it. Amen. We're going to have to do some visiting every evening as we get closer to it. They didn't sit there all day long. How can I figure out a way to get out of this and sneak out and go home early so I don't have to go visit? You didn't do that. I mean, you know what? You're 7. You're in the bathroom writing on the stall wall. Honestly, I'm sorry. But I just look at you and want to laugh. I just think, wow. Really? Really? That's you. Guys, guess what? What? I figured out a way to go home. I don't have to go visit and invite any kids to the teen thing today. Congratulations. Congratulations. Wow. I am so impressed. Wow, man alive. Please let me touch the hem of your garment. That's amazing. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Adults, it's just as important that we get it as we are with our young people to get it. Getting it? Okay. Take these things and mull them over. Think about them. Don't just leave here and get upset at the preacher. Open the Bible, read it, study it. I got some parents in here that are knocking themselves out trying to raise decent kids, and I got a handful of kids that just got a rebellious heart and won't listen to mom and dad. I fear for you. I do. I fear for you. See some good parents trying to raise good kids, and you know what? You got some kids that just don't want to do right. Bless your heart. It's time to wake up. Time to start getting it. All right? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the time we spent, Lord. God, thank you for the patience of your people, their willingness to sit and listen maybe a little more longer sermon, dear God, a lot of material. How exciting it is when a Christian young man decides, I'm going to be a Christian young man. Well, how exciting it is when a Christian young lady all of a sudden says, I'm going to be a Christian young lady. I'm going to stop being a teenager. I'm going to stop being a teenager. I'm going to be a Christian young lady. Stop being a teenager. I'm going to start being a Christian young man. Dear God, help us to do the best we can. Lord, please, teaching, training of our young people. Help us as parents to, in love, always in love, patience and understanding, knowledge, accepting the age that they're at, where they're at. If we got a little bit of a late start, we shouldn't take it out on them. Help us to get aboard and get on board with this thinking, this philosophy. Lord, I'm proud of the young people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love taking our young people out into the society. If I had a dollar for every time in a restaurant or a gas station as we're on a youth trip, other youth pastors walking up, man, I'll tell you what, your young people, they're unusual. It's not because of us, not because of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's because of the Word of God. If we follow it, it works. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to aspire to that. Please, we pray in Jesus' name.